I'm Jeff Nally here on the Cromwell Ag Radio Network. It's a pleasure to meet with this young lady again. After serving the Commonwealth of Kentucky and working with the Department of Agriculture over the year and competing in the Miss America contest, Ariana Rodriguez is with us, Miss Kentucky 2025. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
We are in the Commonwealth very proud of lots of different things, and you did us proud on that national stage. Tell us about the event of competing for Miss America.
Gosh, it was amazing. I mean, the whole experience is just unforgettable. You get to meet so many girls from across the country, and you get to go through an amazing but challenging week. I remember we had, you know, days where we would wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning and not get to go to sleep until midnight, and that went on for like 2 weeks. So you really bond with the other girls because you're all going through it together. And then at the end, you obviously get to celebrate whoever wins, and it's just like a really exciting celebration.
So the Miss America contest, as you told me, is a scholarship event.
Yes.
The Miss USA is more of the traditional beauty pageant. Mm-hmm. Talk about Miss America and the way that the judging goes on and the criteria that makes for the finalists.
Yeah, so a lot goes into it besides just the official, you know, the competitions that are ranked. We have a community service initiative, so you have a service project that you start before you even step on the stage. Most people don't realize that, but that is one of the biggest parts, and you carry that into your interview. And the goal, most girls when they interview, is to make their community service initiative one of their main topics in their interview, because that's something that you would be That platform is something that you would be using all throughout your year as Miss America. And since you're competing for the title of Miss America, you know, it's really important to put your best foot forward. And so the community service initiative is my favorite part. It's something that a lot of people don't even realize. It's like a part of it. And then you go into the actual competition. So we have an interview, which is 30%. We have an onstage question, which is 10%. And then we have fitness, talent, and evening gown, which are all 20%.
Fitness, talent, and evening gown.
Yes.
So is it a fitness test? Do you have to show up and run a mile in a certain amount of time?
Or? No. So Miss America, it has a partnership with the Go Red for Women movement with the American Heart Association. And so they have a line by Rebel Athletics in support of AHA. And so we're modeling the line during the fitness portion.
I just didn't know. When you said a fitness portion, I thought maybe you had to go, you know, you had to swim and run and, you know, and lift weights and all the rest.
They used to have girls do a routine on stage, like an actual fitness routine.
Wow.
But they were out of breath by the time they got to talent, so I think that might have been one of the reasons why they switched it up.
No, you could do the fitness test and then have the question that you'd have to answer that while you were out of breath and see how you did.
Just panting on stage.
Yeah. So when you were the for Kentucky, when you were mm-hmm. working there, we learned more about you. Now, you were with the Department of Agriculture, and what were you promoting with KDA?
Well, I'm the spokesperson for the Department of Agriculture, so I promote Kentucky Proud Products and just agriculture in general. One of my main duties as Miss Kentucky is to go into elementary, middle, and high schools across the state and really teach our next leaders the importance of agriculture and where their food comes from.
So what did you learn about agriculture while you were the spokesperson for the Kentucky Department of Agriculture?
Well, I still am the spokesperson, and I learn something every single day. The most recent thing that I learned, I didn't grow up on a farm, so any farmers listening are going to laugh at me, but I realized that there was two different types of chickens, broilers and layers. And I'd never grown up around the environment, so that was something that I just didn't realize. But there are also more serious issues that I've come to realize that I didn't really think about before I became Miss Kentucky and stepped into this role. A lot of farmers, unfortunately, commit suicide. And so that's one thing that I realized very early on in my job is, you know, that I, as the spokesperson, have a duty to educate people about that, but also to try to make farmers' lives a little bit easier, whether that's by going into schools or talking to them directly, just doing whatever I can do to help that problem. But on a lighter note, there are so many things that I learn every day. I mean, from farmers, like the work ethic. I've always had a pretty good work ethic, but nothing compares to the work ethic of a farmer. Like, the amount of love and and just drive that they pour into creating food for Kentuckians and people from across the country. It's just very admirable.
So you would have walked into, and you still do, because nutrition is a part of, you know, taking care of mm-hmm. yourself and upholding the crown. Mm-hmm. You walk into a supermarket and you're in the produce section and you see all the vegetables, and you walk through the meat department and you see the, you know, the meat offerings that are available. Mm-hmm. After working with farmers, do you have a greater appreciation of where that comes from and how it came to be?
Yes, without a doubt. And I think in this role, I'm able to take what I've learned and teach it to other people too. There are so many kids that I meet in these schools that think that their food comes from the grocery store, and they don't realize that there's so much work that goes into it before it even gets to the grocery store. So yes, I've realized that personally, but I also think that being in this role, I've had the opportunity to make other people realize that as well.
You've also, we're talking about Kentucky Proud products, mm-hmm. and we're not going to pick one farmer over the other, but in the grocery store, a statistic I heard is that most of the food has traveled an average of 1,500 miles. Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about Kentucky Proud, we're talking about the local farmer mm-hmm. that has raised the crop, that has picked it at the epitome of ripeness and brought it to a farmer's market, or put it in a market stand, or it's in a grocery store, that when you see a Kentucky Proud label, you know that's not just a quality product. That's a locally produced mm-hmm. quality product.
Yes, and it's bringing money right back into your local economies too.
Okay, so in the Miss America contest, I thought you were the winner, but I'll always think that you're the winner.
Thank you.
Tell us the outcome.
Cassie Donegan from New York won. She's an incredible representation of America. I just caught back from New York. We went to the homecoming party for Cassie, and I got the chance to tell her, you know, you won, but you're carrying like a little piece of every girl that competed with you. I mean, we just created such a bond, all of the girls throughout the week. And so to know that, I mean, any girl that I competed with would have been worthy of the title. At that point, when you get to nationals, you've put in so much work, you've already proven yourself. It's just, you know, chance. I mean, it depends on what those specific six judges think on any given day. But Cassie is a remarkable, remarkable woman, and we were all so proud of her. The outcome for me personally, I got top 11, and I was just ecstatic. I couldn't believe it. If you go back and watch the videos, I'm just in complete shock. And I was the first alumni of the foster care system to ever place in the top 11.
So we've talked about all of this so far mm-hmm. to get to this point. Mm-hmm. Tell us about you growing up, because most young ladies that are in contests like that, mm-hmm. their moms were in contests and they've got a group of friends and they had, you know, this is a part of their heritage, if you will. Mm-hmm. Tell us about you growing up.
So I grew up in kinship and foster care. I initially went into kinship care when I was 5, and I eventually went into foster care at 12. And after I left foster care at 14, I eventually became homeless. So I spent 2 years in high school living out of my car. And so it's safe to say that my experience is probably not like any other Miss Kentucky. I had a lot of challenges, but also growing up in those environments has taught me so much. And I think that it helps me be a better Miss Kentucky. I grew up in so many different places all across the state. And so I learned from so many different people. You know, I was never around just, people in the country. I was never just around people in the city. I got to experience everything at a very young age, and so many just different personalities that taught me so many lessons that I get to carry with me into the job of Miss Kentucky, because now I have the opportunity to travel the state and I get to meet all of those people again, and all different types of people. And it's a lot easier for me to connect going through that than I feel like it would be if I had never experienced that. So I had my challenges, but it has its benefits too.
Ariana, I wonder if you're willing to share, what was the circumstance that at 5 years old you were in foster care mm-hmm. or in other care, not at home with a family?
Yeah, I grew up with my biological mom, and my mother has always been sort of an addict. She struggles with mental illness, and growing up, that was pretty prominent, that was an issue. And I went to live with my grandma when I was 5 years old. So I still got to stay with family. When I was in kinship care, I got moved around to about 20 different placements throughout my 9 years in kinship care. But when I was moved, it wasn't ever because there was a lack of love. It was just there was a lot of deep-rooted problems that never really got addressed, never really got solved. And a lot of people, when I tell this story, they seem to think that, you know, I would be mad at my mom. And I'm not mad at my mom. My mom is a wonderful person, but she has her struggles just like anybody else. And so growing up, I had a lot of responsibility to kind of be in an adult role because my mom was struggling, you know, and somebody had to step up. So I also think that that makes me, I don't want to say a better Miss Kentucky, but a unique Miss Kentucky.
You certainly have a different story to mm-hmm. tell than other, and it would be easy. And some would say almost acceptable that you quit. You would use this circumstance and just, but instead there was something in you that kept you pushing forward. There was a standard in you that was unlike lots of others who use those circumstances to fail. What kept you moving forward?
Honestly, my younger brother and sister. I have a sister that's 14 and a brother that's 18. And growing up, I just always remember my mom saying, like, you know, they're looking up to you. Like, you need to be the best sister that you can possibly be. And I really took that to heart. I mean, everything that I did throughout high school and throughout college, one of the main reasons that I wanted to win Miss Kentucky is so I could show, you know, my younger brother and sister that they can accomplish whatever they set their mind to. And my mom. I think that since she struggled with addiction and since, you know, she's made quote unquote mistakes, that she doesn't deserve a second chance. And so I really wanted to show her that, you know, it doesn't matter what happened in your past, you control your future. And if you set your mind to something, like, you can accomplish anything you want. And so I think that that kept me going, just really wanting them to realize that, you know, the only thing holding you back is you, is the belief that you can't accomplish everything that you want to. And so I thought that if I accomplished something that nobody thought that I could, then it would show them that.
So take me to the period of time between 14 and 16 or whatever period there mm-hmm. was that you're living in your car. I know in school there is a tremendous amount of social pressure, mm-hmm. but I would even think even more social pressure on young women. Mm-hmm. How did you survive through that period of time and keep your head up?
So after I was reunified with my biological mom, she was homeless at 14. And we lived out of an abandoned house for almost 2 years before we moved to Nelson County, my eighth grade year. And my eighth grade year, was fine. Freshman and sophomore year was fine. My mom was not still battling addiction at this time, but we never really got along that much. So there was a little tension there. And I just knew that I couldn't accomplish everything that I wanted to accomplish in that environment. And my mom felt the same. It was a very mutual decision. And so, although hard, I decided to step away from my family to really just try to get my life on track. I mean, I feel like when I was living with my mom, there was just a lot of pressure to, she thought that she couldn't accomplish anything. So I felt like I was being told, you know, I couldn't accomplish anything because that's the environment that I grew up in. You know, nobody's ever been Miss Kentucky. Nobody has ever been to college. So it's like your expectations are really low. And I felt that every day. And I just knew that I was destined for so much more. And so at 16, I decided to move out. And with the support of a lot of really incredible people from my local community of Bardstown, I got to transition between staying in my car and staying with friends. So I wasn't in my car for the entire 2 years. I had a lot of really great friends who were just, you know, 16, 17 years old themselves that would ask their parents if I could spend the night or sneak me in. And they just really incredible people who showed up for me. I know that I wouldn't be here today if I didn't have so many people who stood up when they didn't have to.
When you were living in an abandoned house, did it have electricity and heat and running water, or was it just a structure to be in?
It was just a structure to be in. My mom, she was working 12-hour shifts, and she couldn't afford to get us a place still. And so it was like we didn't really have any choice but to stay there. we're at the Kentucky Farm Bureau annual. What is it?
Kentucky Farm Bureau annual meeting right
annual
now.
Annual meeting. Okay, I was trying to say like conference or something fancy.
Either way, it's okay.
But if you go back and watch the video that Kentucky Farm Bureau made about my life, you can kind of see more in details. I mean, they show the house and everything that I lived in. So you can really see like firsthand what it was like. But I mean, it was hard. Just knowing that I went to school living a very different life than everybody I was around.
I guess the reason that I'm asking these questions, and thank you for being so patient mm-hmm. with me, is that I want folks to understand just what a phoenix you are. Just from the ashes that you rose. So now Miss Kentucky, now number 11 in the Miss America contest. Mm-hmm. Now with plenty of opportunities and a college education, I'm interested in your goals because I know that you have a very special goal that is unlike probably any other who has achieved this level of status. Tell us what you want to do with your life.
So I hope to run an independent living facility for youth who age out of the foster care system. That is my ultimate goal. So many youth who exit foster care, become homeless or imprisoned, actually believe it's 50%. And it's not because of anything that they did. You know, these children didn't choose their circumstances. It's just, I don't want to say bad luck, but it's just chance sometimes.
This world is not a good place. Bad things mm-hmm. happen to good people. Mm-hmm. Bad things happen to you. But you had a higher calling and you pulled out of it. And now you want to pull others with you.
Well, bad things happen to me, but I guess I could dwell on that and, you know, do bad things, but it just seems so much more productive to try to make good out of it. You know, not a lot of people have the experience that I do in general, but a lot of them get defeated by foster care. And so since I have, you know, had the luck and the opportunity to succeed, I feel like not only do I love the idea of running an independent living facility, but I feel like God has put this in my life for a reason. Like, I couldn't imagine myself doing anything but this. I don't think that I would be satisfied even making $1 million if I didn't also get to do this.
So what do you need to make it happen? And are there other people that are coming alongside you now to see this dream come true?
So this is probably not going to happen for a while. There are still a lot of, I don't want to say smaller, there's still a lot of systemic issues that I think I want to focus on first before I pivot to mm-hmm. the independent living setting. My nonprofit, the Lucky Ones Foundation, is doing so much across the state right now. With my busy schedule this year as Miss Kentucky, I'm not sure how soon I can get this independent living facility up and running, but throughout my year of service, I've met so many people who have heard my story, and they tell me every time, you know, this is inspiring, like, what can I do to help? So I know that there are so many people throughout the state that when the time does come where I want to run it, they will gladly help in any way that they can.
Okay, so you mentioned a foundation, mm-hmm. the Lucky One Foundation?
The Lucky Ones Foundation, yes.
Lucky One, the Lucky Ones Foundation.
Yes.
Okay, so how do we find it, and what do you do with the foundation?
So I'll start by giving you our website, because it probably explains on there better than I ever will. It's www.the-lucky-ones.org. And our foundation, we have two primary goals, which is to amplify the voices of youth in foster care and educate the public about the issues that they face. And we do this in a multitude of ways, but we have a couple primary projects that we focus on. The number one being the suitcase project. So many children, when they enter foster care, are given a trash bag to put their most prized possessions in. And it sets a tone from the second that a child enters the system that, you know, they're not valued. And so my nonprofit collects suitcases and other luggage and fills them with essential supplies and just nice little treats for the kids. It's already a very scary time. So if they can just get like a face mask or a book or, a coloring sheet, that really makes their day. And so we try to include happy things in there too, not just the necessities. And we ship those out to foster care agencies across the state and in surrounding states. And our second most prominent project is, oh my gosh, I got a cough. It's the weather out here. Our second most prominent project is the Lucky Ones podcast, which is a platform I designed to educate the public about the issues of the foster care system and really to give foster youth a voice to tell their own stories. So many times when you're growing up in foster care, you know, you talk to case managers every week, but you never get to talk to the people that really make the decisions. You know, you never get to go and talk to the judges. I remember I wrote dozens upon dozens of letters to my judges, and they were never given to them. Sometimes the case managers would, like, throw them away in front of me. Like, you're not given a voice when you're in foster care, but everyone is speaking for you. You really have no control over your life. And so the podcast is a platform I designed to really allow them the platform to share their own story on their own terms. I don't censor anything out. Some things are hard topics, but we talk about all of it. So I would definitely encourage anyone who's interested in learning about the foster care system to take a listen. I know I learned so much every episode, and I'm sure you will too.
I have met a lot of beautiful people in my time, but I don't know that I have ever met anyone with as beautiful a heart and as beautiful of a smile as you.
Thank you.
God's hand has been on you all the way, and I pray that his hand stay with you as your goal to reach out and help other people.
Thank you.
Her name is Ariana Rodriguez, theluckyones.org. I'm Jeff Nally on the Cromwell Ag Radio Network.